Welcome to the Pure Life Team Podcast. I'm Jacob Barr, and I'm here with Cheryl Forrest. And today we're going to be hearing Cheryl's story. Cheryl, would you start us off by introducing yourself?
Yes. So my name is Cheryl Flores, and I live in Casper, Wyoming. I have been a nurse since 1998. I currently work at a pregnancy resource center in Casper, Wyoming.
Awesome. So, yeah, tell us your story. Tell us, yeah, what you wanted to share today.
So when I was 15, I had an abortion. It just led to a series of depression, serious depression, suicidal attempts. I just was in a really, really bad place, and I immediately regretted my abortion. I believe it led to drug abuse. It led to worsening of my depression, and I just regret that decision. I went to nursing school a few years later, and I really didn't think about it that much. I never dealt with the depression. I never dealt with the abortion. And finally, later in life, maybe about 13, 14 years ago, I attended an abortion recovery group, and I received a lot of healing from that. I entered treatment for my drug addiction and got counseling for my depression. And then it led me to this job as a resource coordinator here at a pregnancy resource center. And I'm able to share my story with my patients. I help them with resources. I tell them what, you know, the things that I suffered for in my life because of my abortion, and try to help them not make that same decision, to get her the resources so she can choose life, but also to point her in an abortion recovery group in case she has an abortion in her past, that she can get the same healing that I did.
Wow. As part of this journey to finding healing, which passage in the Bible would you say has been one of your most instrumental, something that you would think about often and it really helped?
So, one is Revelation 12:11 that says you overcome the devil by the love of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of your testimony. I believe every time you share your testimony, it is overcoming the devil, and it is restoring what was lost, you know, beauty from ashes. And the other Bible verse, I hope I get it right, is confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. I believe it's James 5:16. I didn't, when I had my abortion as a teenager, I didn't freely share this with everybody, but I wasn't a Christian at the time, and I didn't understand this Bible verse. When we have something that we stuff in our life, or we ignore, or we bury, or we pretend it doesn't exist, you know, Jeremiah says you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. And I had this, desire to share my story. I had this just kind of innate feeling that I needed to share this with somebody. And luckily, the person I chose to share my abortion story with invited me to church. So literally the day I would have delivered that aborted child is when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I believe that most important part of that verse is so that you may be healed. Confessing and getting it out into the open and allowing healing to happen is how you become healed. So those two verses are very important to me. I share my testimony all the time. Every opportunity I get, I'm invited to share it a lot of times to Embrace Grace groups and, just a speaker at events. And so those are the two verses that really sealed it for me. And I'd like to share, I've been at this pregnancy resource center for 12 years now, and I did have a full circle moment where I had a 15-year-old and her mom in my office. And she said, the mom was just kind of incredulous. And she said, she talking about her 15-year-old daughter. She doesn't have a job. She doesn't have a car. She hasn't finished high school. You know, of course she can't keep this baby. You know, like what was I thinking? Of course I had to agree with her. There's no way this 15-year-old should have a baby. And so I just shared with the mom about what I experienced, my depression, my suicide attempts, my drug addiction, you know, losing everything, and that I directly attribute all of this to my abortion. And the mom just said, "Oh, well, I don't want her to experience this. Of course, we can't do that." And so it was a really full circle moment. I understood at that moment, really kind of on a deep level, that God didn't cause all these things to happen to me. They were the result of poor choices, but he definitely was able to take the mess of it and turn it into a message, to turn it into a testimony. To It says in Genesis that God can take anything meant for evil and turn it into good. And that was my full circle moment at my current job.
Wow. So I've got a couple of follow-up questions or thoughts. One, I want to slow down for a moment and ask you about the statement you made, which is you got saved on your potential delivery date. I just want to slow down and have you you know, maybe to sort of share more about that, because that seems like a really interesting I don't understand. I mean, I'm still trying to comprehend like what that represents.
Well, so when I had my abortion, it was I think I was about 10, between 10 and 12 weeks pregnant. And it was over the Christmas break that I had my abortion. And when I came back to school, I was a junior in high school at the time. And when I came back to school, I had new classes. And I just had this abortion in January. You know, it was very recent. And I was kind of reeling from it, reeling from the decision, feeling very guilty. And one of my friends, I was in a brand new class. You know, it was a new semester at school, so I had new classes, and my friend Amy was sitting next to me in this computer class, and I just told her, you know, what happened over Christmas break, that I had had an abortion. And her first response was, "You should go to church with me." And at the time, their family was seeking a new church, so I just went with them, and we tried a bunch of different churches. The weird thing is, the very first church we went to, I cannot remember the denomination, but the pastor started his sermon with a couple that had lost their baby, and he said that they were being punished for their sins, that God was, you know, getting back to them, and took their baby because of punishment of her sins. And I just remember my friend's mom said, "This is terrible." She literally like yanked us up, and we walked out of the church, and she said, "This is not true, you know." But we eventually landed on this Baptist church, and that became my first regular church I attended, you know, about 15 years old. And they had you know, altar call where you come up, and if you want to be baptized, you know, you can do that and confess your sins, you know, accept Jesus as your savior. And I did that, and then scheduled you know, a baptism. And that day that I had my baptism was my original due date. That would have been the due date of my aborted child. So instead of having a baby that day, I got a different new life, right? It was a pivotal moment in my life, so I, you know, went a different direction. And that was something, that correlation was something I didn't realize until many, many years later. I hope that makes sense.
That, yeah, it's beautiful how Jesus is weaved into your story, and really, you know, the day you got saved traditionally would have been the day you would have seen your baby in person, but now, when it comes to eternity, you'll be able to see your baby in heaven because of that same exact day, which is just phenomenal to think about. Like, there's so many, that's just so amazing, honestly. It's just amazing.
I really think God weaves a tapestry. I mean, it's just amazing how he weaves things together. We see it in the Bible, right? All the time.
Yeah. So there's something interesting about, yeah, your story just is, yeah, it's beautiful because it connects your pregnancy, your connection with Jesus and your child. Like, it's just like, so there's like, I guess so many things I want to respond with or share with. So one of the, in James 5:16 was my favorite verse 2 or 3 years ago. Today, I just keep thinking about and echoing Psalms 23. And I want to go through the first few verses with you, which is, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, which is just amazing. And then he guides me along still waters. And then the next verse, which I think often gets skipped over, is he restores my soul. And so I feel like you've experienced your soul being restored. Can you think about where God has made you lie down in green pastures, things that are really good? And then where has he guided you that you may have, you know, followed to go to a place of, you know, restoring, you know, still waters that are safe and delicious?
Sure. Those are good, great questions. So I specifically remember how persistent God has been with me. I'd like to address the how he's got me through some things and then maybe talk about the rest and restoration. But when I was going through recovery for my addiction and depression and you know, kind of just analyzing my life and getting tons of healing, God has had to be very persistent with me. You know, I think of you know, Elijah and the tree in the shade, but I was very reluctant a lot of times because when you stuff something for so long, it's painful. It's painful to get it out. It's painful to receive the healing. And I dragged my feet, and God gave me so many outs that I didn't take. But one particular moment, though, when I learned about this abortion recovery group or class, I was like, yes, this sounds great. I should do it, you know. And, but I tend to be one of those people at the time that said yes to everything, but then backed out of everything. I was like, I don't think so. And the leader called me and she said, you know, we're starting the class, you know, I have the book. And I said, you know, I don't think so. I don't have time right now, you know. And she said, well, where are you? And I said, I'm at Walgreens. And so she literally got in her car and drove to Walgreens and handed me the book and for that class. And I just remember saying, all right, God, fine, I'll go. If you're making it like this easy, I really shouldn't back out, you know. And so that led to just amazing healing for me. During that class, there was an exercise where you sat across from yourself. You had an empty chair, and it's just you and this chair and the facilitator. And she said things like, imagine God talking to your 15-year-old self. What would he say? What would you say? What would you tell her? Thinking about what she's going through after the abortion. And it was really impactful and powerful, and of course, very emotional, because it was at that moment I realized God is not mad at me. He's not disappointed in me. He's not surprised by the mistakes I had made. He just wanted me to be healed and restored. And every year I have a word. It's funny that you mentioned that because you know, I just in my Bible reading and my Bible study every year, God just gives me a word to work on. Sometimes it's faith, sometimes it's grace, sometimes forgiveness, love, joy, peace, patience. You know, there's many, many words every year, but this year it's been slow down and rest. And I don't feel that we rest like God wants us to rest. I don't think, like you're talking about, I don't think we always take that moment to just be abide in Christ, to just refuel. And God has really been showing me that sitting and watching TV and you know, kind of zoning out or playing games on your phone whatever is not rest. It's not restoration. It's not really getting that deep by still waters experience. I used to pray all the time, God, just help me to be safe in the boat with Christ. Help me to let him keep me secure while the winds and the waves and the storms are around me. And that's okay. There are moments when we have to do that. That's all we can do is be in that calm place that's in the center of the storm. But then I heard some teenagers say one time up on stage that we have to have the faith, like Peter, to walk out on the water, even with the waves and all that going, that we have to have the faith to step out on the water. And that was really a mind shift for me, that yes, you should rest, and there are moments in your life when you have to just be in that boat with and be safe with Christ. But there is a moment where we do have to walk out on the water. We do have to walk towards Jesus, even when the wind and the rain and the storms are going around. So I don't know if that really answered your question, but that's kind of what I think about in resting. It's not vegging out watching Netflix, right? It's not restorative.
It seems like you're experiencing like the rest of the Psalms 23 goes into he guides me along righteous pathways for his name's sake alone. And then it goes into, yea, though I go through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil. And then it switches from talking about Jesus or God in the third person to talking about to praying to Jesus, saying, you are with me. And then it goes into like he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I feel like that's sort of like that, you know, that storm that's surrounding that peaceful boat, or maybe not so peaceful, but yet you have Jesus there with you. And
He can
it was all
calm
that
the
this
wind and the waves, but it doesn't always happen, right?
Well, but he also might be enjoying you and you enjoying him in the midst of being surrounded by scary things. And because he's with us, that's why we don't need to fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, wow, this is a really, your story is remarkable because it talks about healing, restoration, it provides hope, and then here you are working more than a decade later, helping women. You know, you feel like you've been equipped to really have a great deal of passion and empathy and compassion for where people are coming from, and the desire to help them, you know, to avoid har you know har you know harm and hardships and really harm.
It
So talk
really,
about that. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
yeah, it really, it is a unique position. Not all pregnancy resource centers have a resource coordinator, somebody who just helps patients find resources. I've done thousands literally of Medicaid applications or food stamp or housing or WIC, whatever it may be. That's my job here. But I have a kind of a I we like to joke I'm the unicorn in the midst, because not only do I have, a good knowledge of what's available in our community and the resources that can help her, but I also can relate to her, whether she's had an abortion or was thinking about having an abortion, and also depression and also drug addiction. I can really speak to that on a personal level, which is kind of a rare thing. You don't have that type of situation show up very much. So it's very rewarding in a sense that I think I can connect on a deeper level. It's not just sometimes when women come to pregnancy resource centers, they think we're holier than thou, or that we're judging them, or the negative community or political, if you will, community might on the other side of, on the pro-choice side would say that we threaten them and we tell them we're going to hell, and which is not at all what we do. We want her to have all the information. We want her to know all of the risks that could be if she chooses abortion, but it's ultimately still up to her We just want her to have all the information. And to be able to, if they're willing, to introduce them to Christ is an amazing thing. But sometimes just being able to tell them, I've been there. I've been an addict who, an IV drug addict, and been so depressed that I didn't, you know, I stayed in bed for days and that type of thing. I would probably guess about 80% of my patients have some experience with drugs. We see a lot of marijuana because it's legal in Colorado and they come up to Wyoming. So we see a lot of marijuana use in pregnancy, and we see a lot of depression. I would say 80 to 90% of my patients have experienced depression as well. We're excited here at TrueCare because we're going to add to our services, add a mental health component, add counseling to our center, so that if they need counseling, they can get into somebody right away. So not to toot my own horn, but I just am so uniquely equipped, like you said, for this job, that it's amazing. It's really a perfect example of beauty from ashes.
Can you speak more about this new desire and work to implement a mental health service or wing to the your pregnancy center or pregnancy clinic?
So I do a depression screening as a nurse. I do some testing with them when I meet with them to see if they do in fact have depression. And recently our state has expanded Medicaid coverage to postpartum women. So after they deliver, a few years ago, they would their health insurance would end 2 months after they delivered. Well, now they've expanded that to a year after they deliver. Women can experience postpartum depression for sometimes up to 2 years or more after they have their baby. And when they lose their insurance, they really have no opportunity to get help. These are usually low-income women. We also noticed in our town that it was taking over 6 months to actually get into some kind of mental health provider. And then there's also maybe not as many Christian counselors that we would like to send our patients to, so they can get that component of that counseling. So we actually just, our CEO had ran into somebody at a conference a pregnancy resource conference, and there was a group in Corsicana, Texas that they do this. They have had a counselor there for a long time, and they were actively looking for some kind of facility that they could teach, that they could do some training. In fact, we have that training today with them. And I could tell you story after story how God has moved in this facility in the last couple of years. It's been absolutely amazing. But yeah, they just connected and they said, we're looking for a guinea pig. And our CEO was like, we'll be a guinea pig. We want to do this. So we had a social worker that worked here, just got her social work license. And so we're just doing all the things to get ready to provide this resource.
Wow. And I feel like you've already shared several of where God is, you know, you can see God's fingerprints or his work or his presence. So this podcast has three legs or things I like to include. One is sharing God's fingerprints where it shows up in someone's story. And then also sharing encouraging stories to executive directors, and then sharing things that are new. And I feel like we've already, touched on all three of those, which is great.
Yeah.
So go ahead and share what's the story of where you've seen God, you know, answer prayer, or where God, you feel like God's fingerprints were evident in something that took place based on your work or your experience there at the Pregnancy Clinic. Yeah.
It's kind of a funny thing, but there's literally, and in fact, you should probably talk to our CEO because she can tell you. She's very outgoing and you would like her a lot. She'd be great. But one thing in specific that just happened recently is we had an abortion clinic open in Casper a couple years ago. It was right after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And I don't know if people understand, but when that was overturned, it triggered laws in our in our country where just because it was overturned didn't mean that it made it illegal, right? It's all in courts right now being hashed out. And so this abortion clinic came. Wyoming is a very Republican state, a very red state. But obviously there are people on the other side of the fence. So this abortion clinic opened and we did some strategic planning and we said, you know, what can we do to respond to this? How can we respond to this really spiritual warfare that has been brought on our doorstep? We've enjoyed a long time here in Wyoming of not having access to abortion in our state, let alone our city. And so we had this opportunity. This building became available. It was literally a block down the street from the abortion clinic. And then we have partnered with Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And so those advocates are outside the abortion clinic and offering women gifts and offering them prayer and telling them, you know, there is a free walk-in pregnancy resource clinic. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You can walk right down there and get a free ultrasound and get all the information before you make this decision. And this year we did not realize that we hadn't re-signed our lease with this walk-in clinic. It expired and it's just funny things happened around that. I won't get it too complicated, but anyways, we lost that lease. We did not renew our lease. So we were basically doing month to month, not even realizing we were doing month to month. So they said, okay, you have like 2 weeks to get out or whatever the time frame was. I can't remember. You need to be out. Maybe it was the end of September. Yeah, we had till the end of the month to get out. And we're like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? Because the where I work, it's you call and you make an appointment. They're scheduled appointments. We don't take walk-in off the street, but we really wanted to continue to offer a walk-in clinic. So we scrambled and we found a place and, you know, we moved out of that clinic and we put stuff in storage and then we were like, now what? What do we do? Because we need a new place. Do we bring them all over here, which is, you know, quite a far distance away from this abortion clinic, or do we try to find something near the abortion clinic? What do we do? And literally the day we moved out, we found out the building right next door to our former walk-in clinic is an OB office, and they were moving and they were leaving this OB office. And we have about I think five two to 5,000 square feet that we use here. And this was, you know, almost double that. It's multiple levels. And so, and I mean, that can't be anything but God. I mean, if you just realize all the coincidences that had to happen for that, to me, it's just evident that God is opening doors that we didn't even know this building was up for sale. You know, I mean, it just felt literally fell in our lap, just like the walk-in clinic less than a block away was available. I just feel like it can't be anything but God. I mean, you couldn't make it up if you tried. It would make no sense. Just the divine intervention that happened for, and there's just more to it. I mean, just, you know, it reminds me of all the prophecies that Jesus gave during his 3 years. You know, I mean, if you just really looked at the math alone, the odds of those things happening are, you know, infinite, infinite. And so, yeah, so we are moving in shortly in a few months into a new building where everybody will be in one building. We won't have to be in a whole bunch of different places. And everything just worked out perfectly.
Wow.
And
And to
it's
think
even
if
closer to the abortion clinic now. And they
and
thought they
it
ran us out of business. They thought we were closing down
wow.
because of, yeah, so surprise, we're not leaving.
And if you would have had your lease renewed, you wouldn't have been able
Yeah.
to even
No.
consider that slightly
Right.
closer
Right.
place.
Right. And
Yeah.
one that our building that we're in right now is not really a medical clinic. We've kind of made it into a medical clinic, but this is an actual medical clinic, you know, with all the bells and whistles that we need. So it's amazing. It's a wonderful gift. I get a bigger
Wow.
office. I'm happy.
That's awesome. Well, this has been, I've really enjoyed you being on here and sharing your stories and just, reflecting on where God has, well, has shown, has, where you've seen God in these places. And just, I know it's only a fraction of what you've experienced. As we wrap up, would you mind closing us in a prayer with the hope that those who are listening will join in the prayer that you lead?
Yeah, absolutely. I love to pray. God, I'm just amazed. Jacob and I had a hard time connecting with our schedules, and whenever something happens like that, I feel it really is because we're doing good. We're doing good for you. And there are things in the heavenly realms that happen, this spiritual warfare that happens around us. And there are things that try to throw us off course. There are things that make us afraid to move, afraid to make a step. And I just pray for boldness for every person listening to this prayer, that they will have the boldness to step out in faith and to just walk out a life that is pleasing to you, that is not a comfortable life, but maybe something that is daring and adventurous. And as my pastor likes to say, you may not be experiencing miracles in your life because you're not putting yourself in a position to need them, which sounds kind of scary, but I just pray for every person listening to this prayer, every person that listens to the podcasts and are trying to be fully equipped to put on that full armor of God and fight this spiritual battle. I pray that you will give them courage, that you will give them the willingness to step out of their comfort zone and to put your plan in motion, that you will open doors, you will tear down walls, we can push back the enemy. We can reclaim land for the kingdom of God, and that we should be seeking first the kingdom of God in everything that we do. And even if you feel that you have such a small part, everyone works together as one body of Christ. So I pray for the pregnancy resource centers out there. I pray for people like Jacob that are expanding the kingdom and giving people hope that they are not alone, that the world is not winning. The devil is not winning. We are claiming land. We are introducing souls to Christ. We are spreading the kingdom of God. And it's not easy and it's not pretty. And sometimes it takes a wreckage of a past to be restored so that we can move on and move forward. And that I can overcome the devil by the word of our testimony, that we can represent Christ well in everything that we do. So I just pray for people that are listening right now, that are struggling, that are feeling like maybe their life or their job or whatever is mundane, or maybe there are thorns in the flesh like addiction or depression or maybe an abortion in your past. God can take what was meant for evil and turn it into good, but he can't do that unless you voice it, unless you find someone you trust and really begin to be a disciple of Christ and just watch your life change and watch God use you in magnificent ways. So I just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We this day to the Father, come we this day to the Son.